This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. Do we have one of those little funny pictures back there, brother? You can be popping that up there. You know, I was with him. Oh, Dave, what's this say? Oh, okay. Look at this. It says, there it is, Simpson, the Komodo dragon in its natural habitat. All right, that's a Komodo, and that's a Komodo dragon. All right, never mind. All right. Okay, I think that's all we got tonight for you, right? Okay, that's enough. Hey, you know, I went out with a fellow the other night who teaches astronomy at Pitt. My wife and I were with him and his wife, and we come out of a restaurant, and he looked up in the sky, and he says, look, there's Jupiter. And he says, and then right up to the 10 o'clock position is Saturn. And Jupiter was nice. No, Jupiter first. It was nice and bright, and then Saturn was right up there to the 10 o'clock position. And I thought to myself, wow. You know, the Bible says that God upholds all things by the word of his power. In other words, when God spoke, he spoke those planets and stars into existence. And they're up there and they're staying in their positions because of the word that God spoke. Amen. He upholds all things by the word of his power. There's such power in the word of God when he speaks it. And you know, I told you before that God spoke the word that it might be written. And they did, book of Genesis, right? He spoke the word and it was written. But it was also written that it might be spoken. Did you get that? The word was spoken that it might be written, but it was written that you and I might speak it. And so we're to speak the word of God. And we were talking about that the other day with someone in. We said, you know, no matter what comes into your life, begin to speak to that mountain. Begin to speak to it. Release faith. Because that's where we find results, isn't it? Amen. You know, I was just talking to someone who said they had some hip pain. And they get up in the morning and began to speak to that. And with authority, with assertiveness, with power, and then they did a few stretches, and then the pain went away, and it was gone the rest of the day. I'm telling you, this works, church. There's power in your words. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That's good fruit, right? As you see the power that's in your words, and then you begin to believe that you have power in your words, then when you speak to things, when you believe in your heart that what you say is going to come to pass, you're going to have whatsoever you say. Do you believe that tonight? It really does work. So, and you see, the thing about this is, in fact, look at Job. We'll go back to Luke in a minute. In the book of Job, so as I shared this morning with this person, I thought, wow, man, I need to remind the people about that. The power in their words. It says the tongue of the upright shall deliver him. It says, I think it's in Proverbs 12. Where was I going? Oh, Job. Job 23. Here's something to keep in mind. Job 23. This is not necessarily my message, but it kind of relates a little bit. Job 23:14. It says, for he performeth. We're talking about God. For God performs the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with him. One translation says it this way. He will do to me all he has planned, and there is more ahead. That's in the Living Bible. So he's the performer. He performs the thing that is appointed to me. And I want you to know tonight that God is going to get us through this corona situation. Amen. We are going to get through it, and we're going to make it, and we're going to come out on top, glory to God. And I just want to encourage you tonight. In fact, that's what preachers are for, to exhort you that we're going to make it. Amen. How many believe we're going to make it? Amen. Amen. Shake off that which God, that which the devil tries to put on you, and step forward and speak the word of God, because we're going to make it. Because why? Because God is the performer. In fact, there's another scripture that says in Psalm 57 and verse 2, Psalm 57 and verse 2, go over there to Psalms, look at this. Everybody say, God is the performer. God is the performer. Psalm 57 and verse 2. It says, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He's the one that performs. Yeah, you exercise authority, but he's the one that performs. He's the one with the power. I told you before, when you exercise your authority, that's when he releases his ability. So you see, that's not humanism. You're not doing it. You're doing your part by exercising authority, and then he releases his ability because he's the performer. Now, see, you and I are the opening act of this performance. We're called to speak, but he is the main event. Hallelujah! I said we are the opening act by our speaking, but he is the main event. He is the performer, the one that releases the power on your behalf. But he's waiting on us to exercise authority over it. Glory to God. So, the word was spoken that it might be written, but it was written that it might be spoken. That's why it was written in the Bible, so that you and I can speak it. And when you and I speak it, what happens? Jeremiah 1:12, he watches over his word to perform it. Amen. He's the performer. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? He's the main event. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I did say to go to Luke chapter 2 a long time ago. Luke chapter 2. Aren't you glad he's the performer? Amen. Luke chapter 2. Let's go back there. Because he did a performance at the birth of Jesus that is absolutely spectacular. But I want to take a look at something after the birth of Jesus tonight. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. He was a righteous man. And he was devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. What was he waiting for? He was waiting for Jesus. He had studied, evidently, the prophecies in the Old Testament, and he knew that Jesus was the consolation of the Jewish people, Israel. And he was waiting on this. And it says he was under the Spirit, or being the Holy Ghost was upon him, it says. Do you ever have the Holy Ghost come upon you? Man, when this happens and you sense God's presence and you sense his glory and you sense that you're moving in the direction that you're supposed to be moving, you're right smack dab engulfed in his glory. So the Holy Ghost was upon him, and what happened to him? And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I mean, this is just dropped in his spirit. I know that I am not going to die until the Lord shows me the Christ child. Boy, how'd you like to have God say something like that to you? Yeah. Wow. Don't worry about dying, because you're going to get to see the Christ child. Boy, that'd be great, wouldn't it? If he'd say to us, you are not going to die, you're going to go up in the rapture.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm believing for that.
Yes,
how about you?
Absolutely.
Glory to God. Until then, I'm going to be about my Father's business. I'm going to occupy it till he comes. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. In other words, the Spirit was upon him, and then the Holy Spirit led him. Now, this wasn't anything out of the ordinary, except for those who knew Jesus, I mean, it's, well, let me put it this way. It's nothing spooky. What do we mean by he was led by the Spirit to come to the temple? In other words, he had this knowing inside. I just need to get over to the temple. I just know I need to get over there. I'm being drawn, led right in my belly here. I just sense like I got to get over there. Maybe he didn't know why. You ever have a feeling like that? I just got to get to this place. I got to go here or go there. Something's drawing me. Do you ever have that sort of experience? He came by the Spirit to the temple. So it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit grabbed him like this and dragged him or, you know, gave him a headlock and got him over there. No, it's just down here. There was this knowing that I believe God wants me over there. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then, and this was a ceremony that they did, I believe usually 8 days after the birth of the child, the male child, then took he up in his arms. He took the baby in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Oh, I've seen this Messiah and held him in my arms. And God, this is a fulfillment of my life. So I'm ready now to go home. Hallelujah. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now here he calls him his salvation. Earlier he'd called him the consolation of Israel. We're going to see three names that he calls the Christ child. Number one, consolation of Israel. Number two, thy salvation. There's salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. There's no other way to get to heaven. Not by, you know, Zen Buddha or Hare Krishna or Muhammad or anybody else. Only Jesus. There's only one way to the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So the second name was salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light. Now he calls them a light to lighten the Gentiles. So consolation. Well, you have actually four names you can think about. Consolation, salvation, a light now to lighten the Gentiles. In other words, a light to illuminate the Gentiles to show us Messiah so that we can see him, have our spirit enlightened. The spirit of a man is a candle of the Lord, lighting all the inward parts of the belly. So he lights us Gentiles. That's right. In other words, salvation is for the Gentiles too. Our spirit can be alive unto God. And so then he calls them, and the glory of thy people Israel. He calls them the glory of your people Israel. Listen, if you're ever talking to a Jewish person trying to get them saved, say, do you believe, look at this in the Bible here. It says in the Bible that you, Mr. Samuels or whoever your name is, you are the glory. I mean, Jesus is the glory of your people Israel. In fact, I led a man to the Lord named Mr. Samuels one time. Because of that very thing, told him that Jesus is the glory of your people, Israel. And he says, is that right? I never saw that before. Well, he wound up getting saved that night. Died about three months later, something like that. Okay. Anyhow, now the thing about this is, and it goes on to say, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel and for a sign which shall be spoken against. He said, yeah, he's going to be the Redeemer, but he's also going to be a sign to be spoken against. He's going to have some opposition. Yes, he's going to be a blessing, but he is going to have opposition. How many have found out that when you step out in faith, you're going to have opposition? The Bible says, 1 Timothy 6:12, to fight the good fight of faith. We're going to have to fight. You just can't kick back, put your feet up and relax, be a couch potato and expect just faith to roll on. No, you're going to have to fight. There is a fight. There's opposition out there. In fact, the book of Jude tells us that we need to contend for the faith. Notice in Jude. Because there are going to come things that are going to come to try to steer you off of faith. In the book of Jude, chapter 1, and verse 3, it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation," that's general salvation, that's being born again, "it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints." We need to contend for this faith because there are things out there, politically correct people, people that don't want God in this nation, etc., that are going to oppose you. But you need to stand for the faith. Amen? That's Jude 1:3. So, you think about it. Matt mentioned it in his message. Herod tried to snuff out the Messiah by killing children, babies 2 years and under. That's opposition. But what's the opposition endeavoring to do? Well, 1 Timothy 4:1 tells us, 1 Timothy 4:1 says that in this latter time, some are going to depart from the faith. That's what it says in 4:1. "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter time, some shall depart from the faith." Depart from believing in Jesus. Why? Because there's opposition out there. Why? Giving heed or giving attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So I'd never listened to doctrines of devils. I'd never listened to seducing spirits. Well, let me tell you what a seducing spirit does. And now this is a definition by Pastor Chris Korn up there in State College. He says, seducing spirit is something that undermines the lordship of Jesus. A seducing spirit is something that undermines the lordship of Jesus. Anything that would come along in your life to take you off of the lordship of Jesus or undermine the lordship of Jesus is a seducing spirit. To try to get you to depart from the faith, to depart from believing in Jesus. And so we got to stand against the opposition and anything that would try to counter that, counter the Word of God. So how are we going to get faith? Romans 10:17 tells us that faith is going to come by hearing the Word of God, isn't it? Amen. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That's the only way that faith comes. Now, we've talked before about, you know, the two kinds of unbelief. We said one kind of unbelief is lack of knowledge in a recent message. Remember that? Remember we talked a good bit about lack of knowledge? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In other words, ignorance of what God's Word says. And we said the second kind is unpersuadableness. You just can't seem to persuade that person to have an encounter with Jesus, or can't seem to persuade them to fall in love with Jesus or fall in love with the Word of God. But so we don't want to be taken in by those two things. But think about that first one, a lack of knowledge. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 1, verse 2, that grace and peace will be multiplied to you through what? Through the knowledge of God. When you hear God's word and knowledge comes, grace is going to come, peace is going to come, and you're going to be solid. You're going to be strong. Amen. Faith is going to come. So as you get knowledge in God's Word, faith is going to come. It's going to be almost automatic. As soon as the Word is illuminated, faith comes. And we need faith to get things done, don't we? Remember he told that woman with the issue of blood, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." So God doesn't say, "Hey, I'll give you what you want. I'll give you your miracle and then you'll have faith." Some people say that. "Oh, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll have faith when I see it." No. That's like saying to a stove, say, "Give me some heat and I'll put some wood in."
Yeah, you got that right.
Huh? Amen. No. He's saying, put some wood in and you'll get some heat. In other words, use your faith and you'll see that healing. You'll see that miracle. Hallelujah. And so faith accompanies knowledge of what God said in His Word. We got to believe it's for us. Amen. Do we have anybody have a Passion Bible here tonight? Okay, that's all right. Matthew 9:35, if you happen to come up with that. But think of what God's word says in 3 John verse 2. He says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Are you listening to me out there? He says that's his will, because his word is his will and his will is his word. He says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." That's what God wants for you, to prosper and be in health. Where does that come from? The knowledge of God's word. We have the knowledge of his word. Matthew 9:35, do we have it right there? Very good. Here's what it says in the Passion Bible. Jesus walked throughout the region with the joyful message of God's kingdom realm. He taught in their meeting houses, and wherever he went, he demonstrated God's power by healing every kind of disease and illness. Every kind of disease and illness. Every kind of disease and illness. Well, why doesn't the world believe this? Because they don't read the book of inheritance. They don't read the will of God. They don't read this, see? So, when we get born again, we begin to read. We begin to find out what's ours. And so, listen, don't pray for faith. Do not pray, "Well, what, Lord, what I need is faith." No. Instead, you obtain knowledge of his word, and faith will come subsequently to gaining knowledge in his word.
Right.
Faith will surely rise in your heart. Listen, people who pray for faith are attempting to get through prayer what the word alone can give. That's a hindrance, isn't it? That can be a hindrance to our faith. So, let me give you another hindrance. Second hindrance is this: a sense of unworthiness. A sense of unworthiness is a hindrance to our faith. All of us have battled this from time to time. Feeling unworthy or inadequate, not knowing our worth in Christ. We find the answer to this feeling in God's word and what it says about you, not how you feel, right? Believing what God's word says about you. Our worthiness is in Jesus, the Messiah. He is our worthiness. God does not baptize you in the Holy Spirit or heal you based on your worthiness. Because why? Because really none of us is worthy in and of ourselves. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, but we don't have our own. We got his righteousness. Amen? But we're worthy in Jesus. He has canceled out our sin. We are no longer deplorables. I don't care what politicians said we were.
Amen.
You're not deplorables.
Amen.
So get into the word and do not let feelings of unworthiness defeat you. You are good enough to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You are good enough to be healed. You are good enough to receive a miracle.
Amen.
By the way, well, what about the Holy Spirit? Listen, what if I'm not totally perfect? Will God give me the Holy Spirit? Yes. Because listen, if you could clean up your life without the Holy Spirit, what do you need the Holy Spirit for?
That's right.
You need him to clean up your life. So yes, he'll baptize you in the Holy Ghost, even if you got some faults and shortcomings. Then the Holy Spirit will help you. How do I know that? Because Romans 8:13 says, talks about how he, through the Spirit, everybody say through the Spirit, through the Holy Ghost, he'll help you mortify the deeds of the flesh. Glory to God, he'll help you. You got help walking this walk. You got help living for Jesus. You can't do it on your own.
Amen.
We're all going to fall short, right? But his Spirit in you makes you worthy. His blood has cleansed you. His blood has made you holy. We Christians are aware of our shortcomings, mistakes, and failures, and weaknesses. But we must not look at ourselves from a natural standpoint. Rather, from a biblical perspective. You almost have to use those blinders that Matt used, Pastor Matt used, right? Put those glasses on, faith glasses.
That's right.
So you're not looking, seeing in peripherally here what's going on and what someone else has said about you or what some teacher or family member said about you. No, you're looking right at the Word. You don't see those things. You're looking at what the Word of God says about you, that you're the precious fruit of the earth.
Amen.
That you're complete in Him. Glory
Amen.
To God. Yes, you are worthy because of the blood of Jesus. Woo! Yes. To receive from Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, my wife was mentioning too, self-talk. You got to watch out for that self-talk. And find out what this talk says right here about you. You got to go by how God sees you. Isn't that right? Now listen, I struggled as a young man with unworthiness and thought I was sometimes humble, thinking that I'm weak and humble. And I look back now and I think, you know, that's probably the reason that I even started to learn to fly. I was looking for something to build up my worth. Gee, I can fly an airplane or whatever, you know. But that's a natural thing. And the Word of God is supernatural. And when you get your image from the Word of God and not from airplanes or football or anything else,
Amen.
Then you're going to be secure. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
What I was doing was denying what God said about me. And the Bible says the entrance of His Word brings light, and this Word will illuminate you in your spirit. So that's all the time I got. Let's stand. We'll do some more of this another time. Everybody say, Jesus has made me worthy. His blood has cleansed me. I am in tune with God. I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. And the voice of a stranger I will not follow. I've been made righteous by His blood. I am His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. God doesn't love me because I'm somebody. But rather, I'm somebody because God loves me. Woo, glory. Aren't you glad He loves you? Come on, let's give Him praise tonight. Thank God He loves us. Oh, with an everlasting life. And that's why He sent Jesus in that manger. Oh, to impart love to us. Transform lives. Thank You, Lord, for this. Thank You, Father, for this faith that You've imparted in us. Lord, help us to contend for the faith and win. He says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Thank You for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great evening. Listen, those of you who prayed that prayer, mean that in your heart. You did, and so you are a child of God now, washed in the blood, and you have become worthy by the merit of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a great evening.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.